Simon Shin Yud Sivkatan Beis. So the Shulchan Aruch said there's no food which is considered a Dabar Shel Muksa, except for the exceptions, of course. The Dabar Shein HaOichel, so now things which are not food, after Rav Shimon Yesh Muksa L'Pomen, there's a focus on the more between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon. Yehuda has a much more broader understanding of the concept of muksa, and Shimon has a much more narrow definition of muksa. But Rav Shimon does agree to the concept of muksa. For example, kagod muksa machmas chasar and kis, because shakasav esimin shinches sif aleph. Something is not a, which is not a clique. You got most money, service, pebbles, the volume, stones, those are considered, even according to Shimon, those are considered muksa. When it comes to food, Shimon says even though it's mias, it's still considered not muksa. By the way, the opposite of muksa is mukhan. Mukhan, prepared, achana. An idea we talk about with muksa. Muksa was something which has been sort of set out of your thought process of usage. The opposite of that, it's within your purview of usage, so it's called mukhar, it's ready to use. It's ready to go. Okay, tolush. Now, why we're stressing it has to be a food which was already detached, because had it been attached right on Erev Shabbos before Shabbos started, even according to Shimon, that's considered muksa. Shein died to love me esmo, because you had no intent to use it on Shabbos, because you had no way to use it on Shabbos, because you can't take it off on Shabbos. So we oichel, which is already tolish before Shabbos, is not muksa. So even though you have it designated for business purposes, the schara. Dava gab the oimdim l'schara, that to leim lechel mehem kishayirtsa. Even though you plan to use it for business purposes, in the back of your mind, Rav Shimon Shita is that you keep it in mind, you know, just in case. I would like to use it for myself if necessary. So, in other words, Rav Shimon's point is that you're not totally maksa your das. You always keep it in the back of your mind. If I might need it, I want to do it. The Philochitin is wrong. Then, so, whereas Rabbi Yehuda goes the other way around, Rabbi Yehuda's angle is the opposite. Unless it's totally muchan, it's not good. In other words, the default position according to Shimon is it's ready to use unless you actively have pushed it to the side. Muksamachas hasar and kis, dachi bidayim, the case of you put the raisins up to the grapes up to dry. And Yehuda is all the way around. The default position is basically that it's not ready unless you actively decided you're going to only. So much as you're going to use for business purposes, according to Yehuda, you can't. It would be muksa. We pass that Rav Shimon regards to muksa and Gabi Shabbos, with the only exception, the halacha we mentioned yesterday, that regards to, or 2 days ago, I don't remember anymore, that regards to the halacha that once it's muksa beginning of Shabbos, it remains muksa the rest of Shabbos. In regards to that, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda.
What if somebody has like pizza place, but you know, during the course of the day, the person would eat his own pizza, let's say, you know? So,
I guess what Rabbi Yehuda would hold, I mean, the Kornel Shimon for sure is good. Right? The Shabbos, what would Rabbi Yehuda hold? Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you're not mak, but only use it for business purposes, so it's not a problem. But his point over here is basically you never drop in and take anything, but you always keep it in the back of your mind. We gave an example of a guy has a talus, guy who has a talus store in his basement. Right, so Benson, he's never dropped down there when he needed a talus cotton and taken one, but according to Shimon, since you might do that, it's not considered muksa. According to Yehuda, you would have to actively say, you know what, I'm going to be doing this, otherwise it would be muksa. Okay. So the Mechaber said, even if you've taken the seeds of the wheat kernels and you put them into the ground, or you took an egg and put it under the chicken, to as long as it hasn't taken root yet, What's the learning? Daval gav the chinam yadayim mini shamash behen. Here you've actively have set it aside from usage. While I'm planting on the ground, I'm not going to eat it anymore. I'm putting it under the chicken. I'm not planning to use it as an egg anymore. But it's according to Reb Shimon, that's not enough to make it mux. It has to have a combination of A, you've actively pushed it to the side, and B, it's not roy meanwhile. Like by the case of the grapes, and you put them up to the roof to dry, there's an act of putting them up to the roof, and during that time they become inedible. So that combination, according to Reb Shimon, makes it mux. So even if it becomes edible again, it's too late. But over here, even you've pushed it to the side, but since it's still edible, you have das in it just in case. According to Shimon, you need two things. You push it away, actively push it away, and it's not fit to use during that time. You put it pekarko. I'm a mirror shakosa the davke kshalahoya zroyim adayim mechusim ba'offer. Vayan lekamam esim shenirala psif ches meshaburashom sif katan chav zayin. So in other words, now the comes the Miri says that even though this halacha is true, but once you put it into the ground, you can't move dirt because dirt is muksa. So then you basically made it into a state of it's dochem b'yadayim and it's not roy. I can't get to it. So that the Miri's point is that would approximate the concept of a dochem b'yadayim, even though the actual item itself is still usable, the seeds are still edible. But since you cannot actively get to it, so that's the same thing as dochem b'yadayim.
Are we supposed to think of that as like a bosses?
No, even not being a bosses, the point is I'm creating a new concept called muksa. If I take something which is usable and I actively put it away in a way that I can't use it and it's not usable, so that becomes a muksa according to Hashem. So he said, I need two things. A, I do an action to push it away, and B, it has to become actually not usable during that time. So the seeds are still, as long as they haven't taken root, the seeds are still usable. But that's not true, the Miri says, if you have dirt on top of it. Because even though the seeds are really usable, but since halacha, you can't move the seeds, the dirt to get to it. So practically, you can't get to this, can't get to it.
We're saying the dirt you can't move because of charesh, because of muksa, and not because of charesh?
Charesh would be if your goal is to loosen the dirt or to make the dirt usable to plant it. I already planted it. I'm not adding anything to the charesha by moving the dirt. But I would have problem muksa. Fine. And the Mishnah Berurah talks about also the issue of the Issa Shita, which holds that once you put in the ground for the purpose of planting it, even though it didn't take root, it's considered kaitzer. And so the Mishnah Berurah says in the case, the Miri would solve that problem, because since it wasn't covered with dirt, yeah, we don't consider it kaitzer when you take it out. Okay, La Yishrishu, it hasn't taken root, obviously, the Yishrishu, because it took root, Hoyechayev, Mishum Orker, Dabar Megdula, there'd be an Issa Deraisa of taking something away from where it's supposed to grow, where it's growing. Beim Shetach HaTanagarlis, Vetzolomer Shehoshev HaTanagarlis, HaLebeyim, Yibadjoim, Kedei Legadol Efrechem. So you put the egg under the chicken, and it should start becoming a chick. So it was a fertilized egg, which without the mother sitting on it will not become a chick. But once you do that, L'char, you put it away. Well, right now, it's still usable. Another example we gave was you would take these dates and pick them before they're totally ripe and put them in this container, and they would ripen in the container. Kind of bishulon. I feel like kishchnisu b'salim. Even though you put them in the baskets, and right now they're not really usable because they're not really fully ripe. No, a dainika the ochel huachi. Some people eat it as such. But the case of the grapes and the case of the simukim is grapes and gurgis is the dried figs, which you, when you put them to dry, the process of drying, they get to a point where nobody eats them. You put them to dry and they sat there for a while, they start to like sort of rot a little bit. They're not fit to eat until they totally dry. And therefore the person has removed his thought about having any intent to use it. Okay. Isa b'Gemora, because the Gemara says, the Dafka Gergas at Simukim, Avashari Perish Helen Lagag Liapshan Ain Bemishum Muksa the Hem Khazan Lakhila Afkanam Shisyapshu. Other fruits, the nature is they do not become inedible during that time, and therefore they're not considered muksa. Now, if you took the Gerges at Tzimukim and you put them in the muksa, now we said the muksa over here was the name of the place that used to put them to dry. Rechava Shachari Habatim Kari Muksa, the road behind the houses, which is basically used just for these type of, as a storage facility, is referred to as a muksa, because you would put things away over there. Now you were mamash eating the grapes. All you were eating these grapes, right up to right before Shabbos, and you had a few left over, and you put them down over there to dry. Or held in the gaggle, you put them on the roof to dry. Lasses is on to make them into simukim. Filaki shem muksaleim. So you mamash would been thinking about them right up to Shabbos. You were thinking about them, but that act of putting them away makes them muksa. The hashakim and the nichel liyapshon asach daitem inayel. By putting them there, you've removed your intent to use them.
So this is all in Rabbi Shimon, then, that we're saying all this?
Well, according to Behuda, it's even easier that would be considered muksa, right? We're saying even in Rabbi Shimon, right? It's considered muksa. I'll be muksa. I don't feel a bit tilted. Asurin darei heim kevadim offers. You can't even move them. They're totally muksa. Now, comes along the Ramah. The Ramah says that, what about a goy's grapes? So some people say that the concept of hachana doesn't apply to a non-Jew. What's the lemur? See, what is the Ramah trying to say? What is the Ramah saying? Davrashu also be assumed mishum diskasoy ben ashmoshes voy husman ben yam. It's something which had not been made ready to use from before Shabbos. And the beginning of Shabbos, it was muksa and remains muksa for the remainder of Shabbos. So this, Yesharim says, Ben Yehudi lo shayach, that does not apply to a non-Jew. Deinu ben Yehudi maksa daita miklum. He takes nothing out of his thought process of this is what I'm going to be using, because Shabbos doesn't apply to him. If it's right for some people to use, it's right for everybody to use. If it was that there was no halachic problem to take at that point in time, but all you had rather was the decision of the person pushing it away, so the goy that has no such decision. If, however, it was attached, so you had a goy had an orchard, or the goy had lit a nair, or the goy has owns some animals he has to catch, so he has no intent to ignore them because he can take it off the tree and Shabbos. That's true, but if the status of muksa was generated by the halachic reality of the item. Either because it's mechuber or shayim mechuzet seder, utulasha any yehudi, and then now the guy detached it on Shabbos. Itzara b'Shabbos or caught it on Shabbos. After that, who shall any yehudi? It belongs to the guy. The kuliyama is aser. Everybody agrees that it's going to be aser. Ken b'iser narlet gam ken hachi. The same thing will be true. Something which is aser because it became a new. A new item which was not there from before Shabbos, which we had a Dev Nela before, that's going to be considered a form, even though it belongs to an Ena Yehudi, but the Goy doesn't have an active state of generating Hachana. He doesn't, therefore, even though it's Mechuber, it's okay. He can't generate that. But he doesn't generate muksa. He doesn't generate. Well, since I decided it's no good, he has no such decision. Why should he decide that? Yeah.
But the tzimukim, though, when they're on the roof and they're drying out, and then in between the stage,
right,
they're not roi lechila, right?
Right.
So they'd be muksa. How is that?
Right.
The fact that they're, and then so once they're up there. I'm understanding why does Hachana come into it? Because once they're up there and they've started the drying out process,
It's a great question.
Why does it matter whether we pass like Rabbi Huda, there's a concept called Migud Yitzchak Sada Ben Shemosh Yitzchak Sada Kula Shabbos.
Since it's Muksa, the beginning of Shabbos, it remains such. The logic behind that is, since the beginning of Shabbos, we're defining this item as not usable, remains such the whole Shabbos. But theoretically, if I would be able to in some way to retrieve it on Shabbos, so the Chayrish shouldn't be so. And that's really Rav Shimon's Shita. Rav Shimon's Shita is, Rav Shimon agrees, for example, the Nair, when it's lit as Muksa. Rav Shimon says it loses its status of Muksa later on Shabbos. Right. So we're saying over here that even though when it comes to a Jew, we're going to pass on like Rabbi Huda's concept, when it comes to the items which are a non-Jew, which means he has to sort of decide, well, you know, Shabbos is out of usage. No, it's not. Because it's in play for him. So if the only books is because of the decision in play or out of play, so that we decide it doesn't apply to a non-Jew. If the issue is that there's some halachic reason why it can't be, so then it's out. Then it's by definition out of play. Even though theoretically it could become mutter later on if somebody would do some act to make it mutter. Whereas by the case of the Gerus of Smukim, you don't have to do any act to make it mutter.
So if you knew that by noon tomorrow, Tzimukim are going to be good.
Theoretically, it would be mutter, but we'd pass like because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't work. Okay. But by Gor, that would work. There is one case where it does apply, the Mashal, that concept. If there's something which I have the power to set it in motion to make it usable, the Mashal, if I have a towel which is soaking wet, or clothes that are soaking wet at the beginning of Shabbos, so since there's a problem of skita involved in touching them, I can't, so they're muksa. I put them into the dryer right before Shabbos, and I set the dryer to go, and I know it's going to dry. We'll discuss about how to do that in a second, but, right? So I've set in motion something which is going to make sure that it's going to be usable later on in Shabbos, it's not muksa, later on. Because I've said it, it's called government of the autumn. The human being has the control over it to make it usable. Whereas I don't have the control over it. It's up to the sun, etc. Whereas over here, I have the control over it. Now, can you do that? There might be a halachic issue. There's a concept before in Reishon and Beis to have a machine going at the Shabbat which makes a lot of noise and calls attention to what it's doing it shouldn't be done. It's called Avshe Milsa. Now, there's Mechoikas. Posting over there, is Avshe Milsa a problem on its own? Is Avshe Milsa a problem because people think that you set it going? They hear you, the noise. Oh, the guy turned on the job, right? You know, right? So it's a Mara Zion issue. So theoretically, if the derech were now to let things go before, and it wouldn't be Mara Zion. But either way, you shouldn't be doing it. So
for Goy, the Shabbos did the same thing. So like, let's say you're somewhere and you get your shirt. Has a shirt that fits you perfect size, but at the beginning of Shabbos it was
same thing. A filo gerus at smukim should be out of return. But salam the after the hell of any who be by jam yapshan madakh yan be yadayim, the guy put it up on the roof and actively pushed him away be yadayim come welcome le khalalayo shame mux. Okay, so that's what this Yesh Arim says this, and the Rama says it's a cowboy, which is one of the Rishonim, it's also Mashmosa Burnah. Excuse me. Now, Vayim is Sefer Beis Meir, Shemafakav Bezem Oid. He has great difficulty with this halacha. Kim Nadachim Yadayim, Molechos Elachilo. So it's met the criteria of being why is it better than the case of the which is Mechubar, which that's a Ferish Gemara, that if a guy brings something which he detached on Shabbos or he caught on Shabbos, it's Muksa, the Yisrael can't use it. That's a Ferish Gemara. So why is it any better? It's dachim yadayim, and it's not royal achila. Atim shem dani huri who knows and died. So yosel is that. Does the problem over here isn't by the Jew? Isn't because there's an aveira involved. It's because it's practically gone. So why a goy has more excitement about eating raisins than Jews? I mean, why does he think about it more? Why is it called he has more das in it? Ryan shem emarach was there. Like Graz, Sobri Gam Ken Kaves Meir, the Graz is the Shulchan Aruch, the Gerner B'Zalman, that's the Shulchan Aruch Rav. Also holds it to the base Meir. Okay, refers to Mary Shulchan Aruch. Davke begurgles the tzumukim the chazu will chazu. The kamam is sefei. There's a case later on which is like sort of in between. That they're in between. They're fit but not totally fit. That's the case over here. The kamam is sefei. The pasuk of Shulchan Aruch Sham. The mahani hazman over there. Your decision to use it as such would work. That pasuk of Kolba the Ben Yuri. I feel Eloi hizman mahani. Then a maximidait. Since the mice is usable, so why should he push it out of his mind? But it became totally inedible. The caramel that feels one of the mahani be Yisrael, say nafkimina ben Yisrael lein Yehudi. But if it's totally out of your mind because it's totally not usable, he might go and be the same problem. So that's vindicating your point.
So, okay, so once they're up there. Goy's das matters as well, or it's just that we also know that it's
the Goy's das would not be help in that. The current base mayor on the Shulchan Aruch Rav wouldn't help if it's in the in between stage where it's already getting drying out and it's fit but not totally fit, etc. So that's where it was holding, but at the beginning of Shabbos, that's a different story. That's what you're being make on.
The mechanics of it is you'd have to actually ask the Goy. How would you know what the Goy's das was?
Well, wouldn't be a question of das. It would be a question of, we assume that he, in that situation where it's basically,
pushed it away because it wasn't.
They acted putting it away, put it up there. But, you know, meanwhile, you might have put it up there on Wednesday. That's also called pushing it away. But meanwhile, it's already drying to the point that it's somewhat. So that point in time, he's not maksadait. Okay. Gimel. So the machaber. Bein b'isra achila, bein b'isra tiltol. So now, we mentioned this way back when, the beginning of Shin Ches, that there are two halachas in muksa. There's one halacha that muksa generates an isra of tilt, isra of achila. You can't use muksa, you can't. And there's a second halacha that, therefore, you can't move it. Kol darvash hayu roi ben hashmashes. Now, and we said that isra achila is more chomer, because isra achila is either the one gemara is mashes the raisa, and at least it's not the raisa. It's a drabonon which has an asmachta for it. You have to prepare for before Shabbos, which is referring to achila. So, regards to achila, the muks of achila is more chomer, and there is a prima gadam which holds that based on a mashah in beya that you have to be makar mesafik. Whereas gabi tiltal is only that's clearly a drabonon, and not a derais, not a asmachta. So even the garbi the isra chila called the mashal yeroy ben hashmoshes. It was fit ben hashmoshes, and then later on Shabbos im erev by davrish and his kalkul by bayyan, it's something made it not usable, and then v'chazam aniskim bayyan, and then it became usable again. So chazal l'teiroy, since the beginning of Shabbos it was usable, it cannot get a permanent status of muksa later on Shabbos. While it's not usable, it's muksa, but if it comes usable again, then it's fine. But if it was Muktzah ben Hashmashes, it remains like that the rest of Shabbos. Okay, Yudalit. Bein b'isra achila. Hai bein habirivusa tzvei b'reisha l'inyan isra achila. The many bein's, usually the way it was written, the second one is usually the bigger chiddush. Not only this, even that. Over here, it's in the main chiddush, over here is even isra achila, which is more chomer. Still, if it becomes usable again later on in Shabbos, that's okay. Let me boy linyan tilta ba'alma. Not only regards to moving it, beginning of Shabbos it was usable. Later on in Shabbos it became unusable for whatever reason. Then even later on it became usable again. So you can move it. Okay. Not only can you move it. Right. But even eating it is mutter. It comes back to being mutter. And that's the chiddush of the bain. Okay, so at the beginning of Shabbos it was usable. Then middle of Shabbos it became not usable, and then it became usable again. In Erba Dover, for example, you had your raisins up, they already dried, they're edible, and you didn't bring them in before Shabbos, and it rained, so now the raisins absorb all this water, and here we go again. They expanded to the point that they're not Roy Lechila again. And then the sun came out. The sun burnt them. And dried them up again, and now they're ready to eat again. So chazal teira v'atam. What's the reason why this is so? Dein shayach shem muksa l'chatzis Shabbos. Kim shemena shemoshes hayiroi. Beginning of Shabbos, it was defined as something which is usable. So later on in Shabbos, it becomes not usable. It's taka muksa. But when it comes usable again, why should it be muksa? Okay, chazal v'taz. Okay, Ismail shemol boi b'Shabbos. Ein l'tatal la'achar amil. So remember. So we had before that Ismol, the Mila knife, is a muksa because of chasar and kiss. Mm-hmm. Okay, but what about if I have a Mila this Shabbos, scheduled for this Shabbos? So remember, we said the premise behind chasar and kiss, the Shulchan Aruch Rav says, is you're starting out with something which its primary usage is prohibited. It's klishim not the least. Secondary uses, you're makra not to use it for, because it's chasar and kiss. So my shechita knife, I can't shecht on Shabbos. Primary use is a shechita. I can't shecht on Shabbos. I will not use it for anything else because it's too expensive to use for anything else. So mela becomes a total muksa. Klishim latalisir, I don't mind using it for something else. So it's not total muksa. I'm allowed to use it for the other usages. But by chasar and kiss, I'm starting with the primary use I can't do. Secondary uses I will not do. So you left with zero. We said then that let's say you have something which is very expensive. I have a very expensive Kiddush cup, Becher, gold Becher. So, it's chasar and kiss, yeah, but its primary use is Kiddush, which is not osir. So it's not muksa. We spoke of the Chalitz in the Shemeshavur and the Chazan Ish, if you take a painting and put it on the wall, so the Chazan Ish, how that's called the muksa, because you basically decided to, even though there's no history involved in moving it, but you put it there, you basically moved it out of your das. And the Shemeshavur held not like that. Okay, so that's, you know, the gray area. But, Now, I have this Mila knife. So we said before, the Ramos says that Ismol is chasar and kiss. But one second. But the primary usage is Mila, and if I have a Mila scheduled for the Shabbos, so why should we muksa? Right. Now comes the Taz. Comes the Taz. Ismol shemol by b'Shabbos. Ein l'tatal la'achar Mila. No, it is muksa. It was defined as muksa at the beginning of Shabbos. It's klishim not the leisur. And the pshat is that the main function is an act of cutting, making blood, etc. Is an iser. There's a heter to do the mila, so when the mila comes, I'm allowed to do that. And afterwards, it goes back, reverts back to the homuksa who machus chasar and kiss. So the makpich shalish tamish by davar acher. So Taz says you can't apply the rule over here that it's not muksa l'chatzis Shabbos. Well, before it was mutter, so it can't become osir. So the Taz, no, because the Haben Shmoshes gam ken hoya muksa machasar and kiss ben tatal oz l'shum davar. So it comes along. So the Taz comes along and says that. You might think that we're going to define the beginning of Shabbos as a non-muksa item because it has a function. Well, once the function is over, obviously, now it should become muksa again, but too late. It doesn't become muksa milu Shabbos. So that's not correct. Beginning of Shabbos, it was muksa. There's a special heter for the mila. Now the mila is done with. What are you doing? It's muksa again. After you finish with the knife, it goes back to its status of Benish Moshes, which it was muksa. So you have to put it away where you can't take it home. Can't, you know, trip. You put it away where you are. He accepts the premise of the Taz. He even adds that you can't put it down. Taz seems to say you put it down, you can pick it up later on and move it to the side. Moram says, no, if it's muksa, so while you're cutting, that's fine. But once now that your job is finished, you have muksa in your hand. So we said before, muksa in your hand, you're allowed to keep, as long as you're holding it, you can do whatever you want with it, but you can't put it down and pick it up again.
So my Rambam says,
carried all the way home. Once it's in your hands, so you can take it wherever you want, but you can't put it down. Okay. Now, Navimi im hugam kein pareya. If he's doing if we're not splitting up the meal between two people, and the moil is doing the meal and the priya, which is there's a member which he has to open up, which he does usually doesn't do it with the knife, he does it with his hand. So, but he can't hold on to the knife while he's doing the priya, right? He's got to put it down. Somebody else can take it from him and move it to where it has to go. In other words, we'll consider that's all a continuation of the first person's act of holding of having the muksa, putting it in place X. I mean, theoretically, I'm allowed to move from my right hand to my left hand. Excuse me, that's moving muksa. If only the right hand was moving muksa. No, so we're saying not only that, I can even give it to somebody else, as long as it's clearly an continuation of my act of putting the muksa away. Bechiddush.
You give it to anybody?
Yeah, there's nobody else would have any. No person, other person would have any mile over another. Would mean like his family. No, it wouldn't make a difference. Now, comes the Rebbe and says it further. You put it down, and you're worried about it's getting damaged over there, it's stolen, etc. Said all your Rebbe, the Yeshlis Machal Ramov Hashach, the servant of Mutzla Taltoloi, Fiyochah Masadim Hilchos Mil. They hold that no, once you use it on Shabbos, it's not muksa, because at the beginning of Shabbos you're planning to use it. So how could it be muksa? So even though Taltoloi and Ram are Machmir, there's Ramov and a shach in Yoredei would say that it's not considered muksa, and the Chacham Zalim relies on them. Therefore, you'll be samech on those opinions. You're allowed to move it, pick it up, and move it again. Asa kol hayoyim, it remains. So much the muksa and shmos remains muksa the rest of the day. Dikra achana mivad yom boy. The definition of achana always is beginning of Shabbos. Kiriksiv v'hayo bayom hashishi ve'achin ve'shesher yaviu. That achana is on yom shishi. Over here, its status was muksa at the beginning. So it remains thus the rest of Shabbos. Okay. Dalit. The Gregor's at Smukim, Shohoyu Muksim. You put it up there in the beginning of Shabbos, they were ready to eat, but you didn't know that. He thought that they were still inedible, and as far as he's concerned, they're out of his mind. And later on in Shabbos, he realizes that they were really edible. Goes up there a little later, says, he realizes that during the Shemosh is already, it was totally dry. So you could have argued that it's also not the mechaber that's mutter. So the Mishnah Berurah, Yudzayin, ba'avol pi shaloi yodu. What's the lemer? So what the point of the Shulchan Aruch is saying is, the havamina, I could have thought the machmas zeh chalalai oshe muksa, the charchim muksa, the huksa midaitim elu aperishim shabazu. As far as his mind is concerned, these are out of the scope of his usage. We don't say that. Why? You put up there on Tuesday with the plan that when they're ready to eat, you're going to use that. That was the thought process. So since that's the defining element of what your plan was, so that kicks in even though you're not aware that it's going to kick in. That was you defined that this is ready to use as of when it's struck. Let's do one more. Gergas and Smukim, the Chazer with a Chazer. So we have Gergas and Smukim, which they're like in between. They're fit to use, not totally fit to use, which means they can't eat the Achlule, because the Loy Achlule. Some people will eat it like that, some people will not eat it like that. See, Azmanei, if you've decided you're going to use them, So you've defined that you're one of the group which uses it. So you was not muksa. Nafik lemitaras muksa. Velo, but if you have not designated that you're from that group, we assume that it's not roy and loy. Avimen and Riam v'hisminim. If they're totally not usable, and you just said, I don't care, I'm eating them anyway, the bistam ashugana, hasmanullah milzihi. So your decision that you're going to use them doesn't count. So Mr. Berger has the chazu lo chazu. Haino shenis yabshuk sas alagag mebajam. They started to dry a little bit, but not totally. So your hasmon is insignificant in the case where it's totally not usable because the rehem kavani offer because I mean, they're not usable right now. It's a reality. Chazu poskim. So here's what this idea which I told you before of Gomrit. Emes Armin is Kasoy the Benishmoshes, that once it's Muksa, Benishmoshes, it remains Muksa the rest of Shabbos. Dafka the Worm should Gomorrah be the Shemayim. It's out of your hands. It's in Shemayim's hands to finish it. I mean, everything's in Shemayim's hands, but you know, some things we're willing to admit it, some things we're not. That was the most part of the shit. Okay. Okay. The Gom Gurgis, they need more Melody Chayim Achama. The Gurgis, you need the sun to dry it. It'll be might be cloudy. So it's out of your mind because out of your control. The human being has the ability to make it roy. For example, tomorrow shenotzen aleim mayim be'er Shabbos. So you're making like a beer, and you soak these dates in the water. So right now. The whole thing is not really used. It doesn't really taste good at all at this point in time. Loya tamorim beloya mayim, not the dates. They're absorbing all this water and not the water. To haloi kol to tamat tamorim shiurim l'shtia. The water has not absorbed the flavor yet to make it like it's so. It has this like flat, little half baked date flavor. So that's not. Doesn't taste good like water. Doesn't taste good like beer. It's like in between. And the dates right now are not really usable. So the charit should be muksa. No, the time we know all yom haShabbos. You have not taken out of your thought process. The nature is they absorb it. There's no other intervention needed. You set in motion a process which will make it vaday usable. So that's not considered that it's human maksad item, and it's not considered muksa. Okay, very good.